will revisit the topic in January or February?
I guess what we'll do, Terry will introduce me, then I'll do my talk about composting. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask them, even if it's a silly question, okay? We're trying to fill some time with this as well, so your participation is welcomed, okay?
I guess if they ask a question,
I'll repeat the question. Yeah. I'm not very good public speaker, so if I'm nervous or rush, you just got to work with that.
At least you have a small audience.
Yeah. Where's the hecklers? You're going to heckle me, are you?
Point and laugh.
Okay. This is how it's going to work out, is it? All right. What brought you here to about? What interests you about recycling? Anyone?
I like to compost, but I'm not very good at it.
At home?
At home, right.
Yes. My wife, for Valentine's Day this year, I bought her one of those big bins. It kind of rotates. It's about...
Yes,
you have that thing? It's like $200. I didn't know it cost that much. And so she has that, but it's very wet inside. I guess you've got to put some dry material inside, but I don't know what you're supposed to do with it. I really don't. But it's very wet. I guess you put some dry material and dry it out. It's supposed to have some heat generated. It doesn't generate any heat, so it just sits there on the deck, getting worse and worse and worse. But she wanted it, so that's it.
Oh, it doesn't generate heat, but it's supposed to?
Yeah, I don't know how the mix works. She just puts the stuff in there and hopes for the best, I think.
Because there's no point in turning it if it's not generating heat.
No, you can turn it just to turn it around.
Yeah.
It is kind of wet inside. I don't know. She, like, you put like banana skins and leaves. Well, not too much leaves, but like food waste. So I guess like peelings. I guess a lot of stuff has a lot of water in it. It has holes in the bottom, so it can actually drain out the liquid. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe it's not draining out the bottom enough. You have the same problem? Yes.
Well, then the lid ends up underneath, and then that collects rainwater.
Ah.
It's that smell. It's not doing the right thing.
Okay. Ours doesn't smell, but it just sits there. I mean, I guess we'll put it on the... It does look brown, like, you know, it does look somewhat like this, but not greatly like that. So that's it. So that's composting,
well,
I guess. Yeah, leaves dry out, that's right.
That would be really funny to try to use that.
Well, one of the things we're trying to do is USDA, they have a huge composting program, and they want our composting waste. They want the good stuff, which is the stuff from the cafeterias, the food waste. But we're trying to give them our animal bedding, which isn't as exciting. So we're going to do a fair mix of both. But their program's up and running. It's actually out by IKEA, Beltsville there. They have a whole, they call it a windrow. You have a machine that turns the whole thing over backwards and forwards. And that's what they have there. And the problem is trying to get it from here to there. We're working out the contractual issues, everything else. But it's animal bedding, which, of course, is mainly just straw, whatever it is. So you can't just do straw. You've got to have some other kind of nutrients-rich composting, such as the food waste.
How do you get rid of the bedding?
Yes, that's unfortunately taken to Montgomery County, which is actually incinerated. That's how it's got rid of. But we have a collection... We have a big, huge dumpsters in each different building. Are you in a certain building?
I'm off campus.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming in. But yeah, we collect it in large dumpsters, and they just take it to the to Montgomery County transfer station. They have a big incinerator, then they burn it up, and that's it, really. So a lot of this composting, as I go in later on, is mainly to do with like landfills and. There's not much space around, so the whole point of composting is to take out the landfill so you can put other trash instead. And the composting is good because then you can actually just reuse it again as a composting material.
Gareth, what time is it?
What time is it now? It's 12:05.
Okay. Maybe we should get started.
Are you ready? Okay. I don't see the red light on yet. Oh, okay. Let me stand out your way.
Hello, thank you all for coming. My name is Terry Leland, and I am the coordinator for the NIH Environmental Management System here at NIH. We also call this the NIH Goes Greener campaign, and these monthly green hours that we're doing are an important part of the outreach to the NIH community. We try to touch on topics that we think our employees would be interested in, and we know that for many people, recycling and composting are topics that they would like to learn more about. Before Gareth gets started, I'd just like to mention that in the past we had a volunteer program of recycling POCs in different buildings who helped us by distributing environmental information and recycling information to their coworkers. And we're trying to renew this program and get volunteers who'd be interested in helping us just distribute environmental information to their coworkers and answer any questions that they might have. So if you'd be interested in signing up for that, we'll have a sign-up sheet at the end of Gareth's talk. So now I'll turn it over to Gareth. This is Gareth Buckland, and he is the NIH Recycling Coordinator.
Okay. Thanks, Terry. Put a pen. Well, again, thank you for coming today. I'm Gareth Buckland. That's my name. I work for the Division of Environmental Protection under what's called the Waste Resource and Recovery Branch, which basically is all to do with, like, you know, solid waste, MPW waste, chemical waste. And part of that is also recycling and, you know, waste recovery. So recycling and source reduction and everything else. So that's my job here at NIH. You probably see a lot of the trash cans around. And we have a contractor that does most of the recycling on campus. And do a great job. We're very happy with what they do and everything else. But today we're talking about composting and our plans at NIH for composting. My job as a recycling coordinator is not only just to collect the waste and try and separate the waste from the waste stream, the main waste stream, is to look at other ideas where we can reduce waste coming in. And again, composting is another way of reducing the waste stream, everything else. So composting, we want to try and keep the waste out of the landfill and try and have a second use for that material. So what we're doing right now, we're planning several programs on NIH, animal bedding, food waste in the cafeterias, to see what we can do to compost those things. Okay? Good thing. Okay, why compost? Well, the composting, it diverts waste from the waste stream, such as landfill space. We're getting less and less landfill space in this area. Montgomery County is expanding further and further, more houses, so it's... What's difficult with landfills is that landfills support only a certain area. A vehicle, a truck that supports the landfill can only travel so far in a day, so 4 or 5 hours is maximum. So the more and more houses being built, the less space for landfill there is. So you just can't put landfill in the middle of a housing development. Of course, nobody wants a landfill next to their house. So it has to be further out the way. The thing with composting, I have some examples here as how it breaks down. It actually produces a secondary product, which is obviously going to be mulch, okay, which is ideal, say, fertilizers and that kind of thing for farming, agricultural use, and saves disposal costs. We take our landfill, we take our waste, we have to pay to get rid of it in Montgomery County transfer station, so we can send less stuff to the transfer station unless we're paying for the composting. Again, it keeps organics out of the landfill. That's a pretty good idea. Provides nutrients to the soil. So once it comes back as a compost, it provides nutrients to the soil, again, saving the use and needs of pesticides and fertilizers. It increases soil organisms, everything else, and it suppresses plant disease. So that's a nice thing there. So I guess we're looking at composting. It's better for, I guess, agricultural and farming use, everything else. But for us at NIH, it's going to save us some money by getting rid of the waste and also, you know, increase our recycling numbers. Under Montgomery County, we're supposed to recycle up to 40 to 50% of our waste. And if we can reduce our solid waste number, that increases our recycling number, if that makes sense at all. So one of the big things we're looking to do at composting is to compost in the cafeterias. And this is in the kitchen, not at the front of the cafeteria. So where people are, we're not really concentrating on that area. We're looking at when people do food prep, when they make the salads, everything else, instead of throwing that in the trash, we can collect that in a large container. We have a contractor that online that can take this stuff. He takes it to a local farm, which actually does a lot of composting. Again, we still have to pay for that, but it's not as much as the other one. So the main point in the cafeterias, again, it's source reduction, try and keep our numbers low. Less foreign materials used. Okay, that's more than I think. Okay, it's an earth-friendly way of doing things, and also it biodegrades, so it's better for the environment. And, of course, it conserves resources as well. You know, people taking a lot of trash and taking it to the waste dump, not really a best idea. And the second thing with the cafeterias is we try and look at bio-based products. I mean, we have a lot of styrofoam, and we get a lot of complaints from that information. People are like, why are we using styrofoam in the NIH cafeterias? Why are we having these horrible cups and these clamshells and everything else? And that's probably one of the biggest complaints. So I've got some examples down here I can show you later on. But most of the stuff you can get now, instead of styrofoam, can be paper products. I think Starbucks has a lot of interesting products instead of using styrofoam. A lot of these products are innovative. I have, I have a fork, and it's just a fork. It looks very simple, like a styrofoam plastic fork you normally get. But this is actually made from a potato-based product. So it actually degrades later on. I've got I've got an example here of how in composting, when this is in the compost pile, with the heat from the composting, actually breaks these things down. So it's actually a starch-based product. There's also another product called PLA, which is polylactic acid. Have you been to Starbucks? I'm using Starbucks as an example. It's the clear plastic containers, only for the cold drinks, not for the hot drinks. If you actually pour hot water, it melts. But that's made from a corn-based product instead of using styrofoam. The problem with styrofoam and other plastics is, of course, it's oil-based, made from petroleum. So we try to save the petroleum in this day and age as well. I deal with these products here, these bio-based products, very innovative. You know, there's papers, stuff made from corn, made from potato starch, everything else. And what's nice is they all degrade in the composting. So in a further project later on, we can put all the food waste and the cutlery and plates waste into one composting thing, and it all degrades in one place, again, saving dumping fees, everything else. Another thing you could do here is bring your own cup. I think we're looking at trying to do a thing whereby you pay less for your big large coffee. I think instead of paying for a large coffee price, you actually pay for a small coffee price, and then you can you make the savings there and just bring your cup backwards and forwards and everything else. So reusing the cup is a better idea as well, instead of having a paper cup every time or even a styrofoam cup every time. And why are we using styrofoam? People are going to ask that of me, is that the contract is obviously made down to a certain price. A lot of these products here are really quite expensive compared to like styrofoam, so we've got to try and introduce this into the contract later on, whereby we can try to have a greener contract in that. I guess that's composting. Do you have any questions on composting before I go into recycling? I know someone said they do composting at home, which is admirable. We try to do it at home as well, but it doesn't always work out as best as it can. But I guess that's under the composting. The other part is recycling, which is obviously my main job. Why recycle? You know, prevents emissions and many greenhouse gases. That's obviously from styrofoam and stuff being burnt in the incinerator. Saves energy if you can reuse a product. Doesn't have to be made from more materials. The more raw materials you use, obviously that's more you're taking from the earth, everything else. Use less use of valuable raw materials. So instead of having brand new plastics and oil and petroleum to make products, we can actually use reuse stuff. It creates a lot of jobs, and it's actually now with the price of a lot of many things stimulates the development of green technologies. I think we've seen now bio-based fuels, everything else, become more prevalent now because of the higher gas prices and everything else. But a lot of recycling things, like glass, is fantastic. You know, glass, it can be reused time and time again. It doesn't need to be changed down at all. So glass is interesting. Aluminium, that's how you say it? Okay. You know, you can use that several times over, you know, keep on going. And we have an interesting little diagram in my office how you can reuse that, you know, aluminium 100 times over. What else we talk about? We've done a lot of new changes to the recycling program. I think a lot of people who live in Montgomery County used to just having the plastics, just ones and twos. Well, we have a different contractor who collects our plastics. We can actually do a lot more than ones and twos. When I say ones and twos, that's the resin codes. And if you look at a bottle, you'll see on the bottom of the bottle stamped a little triangle. It has the number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 kind of thing. We can now collect not just ones and twos. We can actually do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, not sixes and sevens. Six is a styrofoam, which of course is not what you want. Can you recycle styrofoam? Yes, you can. The only thing you can do with styrofoam is to kind of grind it up and then add it to another styrofoam product, like the packaging. You might see some little gray dots in packaging. That's from reused styrofoam. So the new changes to the recycling program, co-mingled, we can take empty cans, not just the drink cans, like a can you get like food in, glass bottles, non-Pyrex. Pyrex is a little bit different. It doesn't heat well. Plastic products, empty plastic containers labeled with resin codes, 1, 2, 3. Okay, we've got that. All the items must be free of chemical, radioactive, biological contamination. If you have a plastic bottle kind of thing or plastic, please try and wash it out first of all. I mean, a lot of the guys, especially in the summertime, they're collecting a lot of the waste, gets stung by bees because a lot of people leave a little bit of soda in the bottom, which is kind of annoying. But we want to get the commingled. So it makes it easy. So commingled, another one I just pointed to earlier on, was the paper products. We used to have just white paper and other paper. Now we're doing all paper products together. We used to get more money for white paper, but now we're looking at more the volume, more so than the money. So if we can provide less containers, some places don't want to have 4 or 5 containers in the office. So to make it easier for people to recycle, we have all paper products and the co-mingle. That's the main two containers. As you can see, with the white paper, you can have office stationery, copy paper, white, green and white, computer paper, newspaper, magazines, envelopes, pretty much all paper that's, as it says at the bottom, all other clean, dry paper. That's what we're looking for. The more paper we have, paper's good for recycling. It's kind of heavy, you know, and that's what we're looking for. When I go back, now those frozen dinners, I know I didn't mention before, the frozen dinners, we can actually take the plastic trays now. If you wash those out and put it in the commingled, and the contain the outside of the cardboard part, that's cardboard, and you can put cardboard out in the hallways, the rest of the cardboard, everything else, and maybe just sack it down flat. So those things we can recycle more now. Back to the commingle, I missed it a second ago, is a lot of yogurt pots are like fives and everything else, so now we can take yogurt pots, that kind of material as well. And even like the sandwich bags, you can get those things as well. We can take most things now, which makes it better for us. The more we can claim, the better it is for us. Commingled, I mentioned that one there. We have several events throughout the year. I do outreach, I go to different buildings, talk to people. But tomorrow, I'm trying to plug this one for tomorrow, we have what's called America Recycles Day. It's a national event. It's every November 15th everywhere. And we're having it in Building 10 in the South Lobby between 10 and 2. We're having a representative from Montgomery County come there. You can ask about local recycling programs in Montgomery County. We have myself, I'll be showing what you can and what you can recycled. I've got some interesting products made from recycled items, like there's some tiles and something else made from recycled glass and beer bottles, and that always seems very popular. We have people from other environmental programs we have, like the chemical waste people and people from the green roofs, everything else. So it's kind of interesting. I've come along down there. A bit more about the Recycles Day. So it promotes recycling and purchase of recycled materials. I mean, talk about the changes in the programs. Trying to put those changes out as well. And that's about it on the recycling program, everything else. But as you can see, recycling is not just taking stuff in. It's actually source reduction and how people use the products, everything else. So another thing I'll talk about real quick is e-waste, computer waste. Most of the e-waste, obviously, is under property. We can't really recycle that, but we give it to the actual battery property people in GDC. And they actually reuse and reclaim the actual plastics, everything else, for the e-waste. And e-waste, there's three parts to that. You know, it's the actual end-of-life stuff, the actual buying of e-waste. And there's a thing called EPEAT, E-P-A-T. That's a standard now for people buying computers, whereby it uses less mercury, reuse plastic, everything else. So if you're looking for a computer, try and look for the EPEAT standard to buy it. Similar to like the Energy Star is how it's made up. And also with the use of computers, we're introducing a lot of ideas whereby the computer switches off after a certain time in sleep mode, save energy that way as well. I think that's about it. I just want to show you the composting, how it works. I can pass it around to you guys. But anyway, here's a typical composting at the start. This is from USDA. You see we've got some plastic in there, everything else. This is not plastic. This is the bio-based products. And with the heat, it melts the products. It breaks it down, makes it into a rougher product here. You see it's more like leaves than anything else inside. And at the end of the process, after it's turned and changed around a bit, it's a much smoother mulch, which can be used for plants and everything else. Do we have any questions to ask right now? Okay. Go ahead.
I was just wondering if you could give us some numbers. You mentioned that Montgomery County requires 40% of solid waste recycled.
Right, yes. Montgomery County, one of the few state counties that we're required, well, everyone in Montgomery County is required to recycle, especially in businesses as well. I think the goal is 50%. We got over 50% last year. This year, not so much, but everyone in the business in Montgomery County has to recycle. Now, you're off-campus, correct?
Off-campus.
Yes. And a big question for off-campus people is, why can we not recycle off-campus? Well, our contract just covers the on-campus part of things, but the off-campus, the recycling is responsibility of the landlord, and he has to do an annual report. Like, we have an annual report sent to Montgomery County as well. So if they're not recycling, we can do some recycling off campus. For example, we can take toner cartridges and pipette tip racks. That's what we'd like to get. But really, in the contract they should be doing their own recycling there. Does that answer your question?
Oh, well, that was like a third-part question.
Oh, it was a third-part question?
That answered part of it. And I was also wondering how much does NIH spend on getting rid of waste? And the third part, I think I forget the third part.
Okay. Well, the waste is quite expensive. I mean, when we say waste, you've got hazardous materials, which is quite expensive. You have MPW, medical pathological waste, as well. The normal solid waste. We have construction waste, and obviously the recycling thing. It is a lot of money. I don't have the numbers to hand, but if you want, I can give numbers to you if you're interested. But it's not cheap. And the more we can recycle and source reduce, the less we should be spending on dumping fees, everything else. Is that okay? Yes.
I just remembered. So NIH gets paid, the contractors pay NIH to take the materials. Did I hear you right?
Okay, yes. Well, we have a contractor who collects all the recycled materials for us, and we do have a vendor that collects, who accepts our material and does give us money for the recycling, okay? However, the money for the money for the recycling we get doesn't really cover the costs of the actual collection, everything else. We don't make any money from that at all. The only thing we make money from is the toner cartridges, and we get like a dollar for each one, which goes to NIH charities, and we get money for Tyvek suits. We recycle Tyvek suits, and that's about the only way you get money as well. We do with the pipette tip racks. If you've seen those guys, number five is the polypropylene. And what we do, we actually shred it here on campus because it saves transportation costs. So it's in big boxes, all shredded down. We send it up to New York, and we recycle that. So that's a very popular idea. So that's unusual. People like to see unusual ideas. As a recycling coordinator, I'm always looking for other products, new products we can, recycle or do a source reduction with. Okay. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Right. So the question was bio-based products. You can't really do it composting at home. You're going to do it in a commercial venture. And that makes sense, yeah, because you can even see these guys here. you know, heated, but it's still in place. There are some products that are really starchy, like a potato-based things. It almost falls apart, but they will work in your composting at home. It depends what the product, how it's made. Some are very, you know, they rapidly fall apart, but you're right, but at home, you've got to get some temperature to break them down a little bit. But yeah, that's unfortunate. But as long as you're, you know, recycling and composting, are good. Was there another part of the question? That was it. Okay. Yes, ma'am, at the back.
Is NIH taking the plastic that you mentioned before, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, is NIH recycling those now, or is that a future?
No, that's happening now. I'm sorry. Yes, good point. The changes, the composting is something in the future working towards. We have to get, you know, a lot of hurdles to jump through everything else. But with the changes in the recycling program, yes, we're now having bins with new labels saying all paper products, also saying commingled. It lists what it has. But we, yes, right now we do take all those plastic resin codes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, not 6 and 7, that's right, number 6. 6 is polystyrene. So yes, you can put those in there right now. Okay? So thank you, that's a good question. So we're trying to put the word out more on our webpage, everything else. Yes, ma'am. Well, we tried a little program. The problem with styrofoam, it's very big. You know, you see the packaging and everything else, and it's really light, which means it's terrible to transport, which means to move the stuff somewhere else, it costs a lot of money to put a big truck of styrofoam. It weighs nothing. There was one place that does, we did take some styrofoam too. They take it to the Eastern Shore, but of course the transportation cost is very expensive, and they grind it into another one, but we don't really take too much. We try to do what we can. We're doing like a pilot program to see how we can get styrofoam, but it is very difficult. But it's mainly the packaging, you know, the large, not the, the cups are very small, but the large piece of styrofoam, yeah. Right, but I think that's something that can happen in the future. The problem is finding someone who will accept it and take it. Right now there's only maybe a handful of places in the States that take styrofoam. The more and more it becomes more popular. And again, it's a cost thing. If there's a value in it, then people will take the styrofoam, but right now, as it's light, it's hard to transport everything else. That increases the cost. So styrofoam is kind of hard to recycle. Even though you can recycle it, you've got to find someone who's going to take it. It's got to have a certain market value, dare I say. Okay. Was there a second question I thought I saw? No. Yes, ma'am. Yes. No, we don't. Most places, there's a contractor, I can't think what it's called, out of Baltimore, but they have a big container outside most restaurants, and they take it and they re-render it for anything else. But we're not doing that, but I think some places do that. But the company who takes the waste oil, I'm trying to think of the name right now, they're a huge company. I think most restaurants you go to will see their little name on the bin, but we won't be doing that. We have biodiesel for our vehicles, 20%, but that's proper biodiesel made by actual a manufacturer that putting it into the car and everything else is kind of a homespun thing idea. But now we use biodiesel, we also use ethanol in our vehicles here. Again, another green point with NIH. That's the thing with NIH, it's very innovative. They want to look for new environmental ideas, but I'm trying to think of the company that does the.
But they take the oil and then they do something environmentally friendly.
They do, yes. I think either it's given to pig food or something like that. It does. They have a big operation. Again, they have a big operation and a lot of value in that waste oil. They can clean up anything else. If they use it for biodiesel, I'm not sure, but I think it's mainly for animal feed and that kind of thing right now. Terry had a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to know, you mentioned microwave dinners.
Yes.
Does it matter if the cardboard box has wax, like a waxy buildup on it?
Right, well, that's the thing with those boxes. They're cardboard, so it should be recycled with the cardboard, similar to like, the tissue boxes, everything else, and those other ones. That's a cardboard, not actually commingled. So that should be put into the hallway with the rest of the other cardboard. But if it's waxy, that isn't too waxy, but that has to go with cardboard. So those things should be cardboard, not commingled. And the plastic trays, as long as you wash them out, they should be fine to take those things. I think most people bring a frozen dinner in, so that's probably a big waste right there. Any other questions? Oh, we've got. Oh, she's got one. Sorry.
So we have a multiple container.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
they're being put, we have some right now, and they're being put out on the different bins. So, yes, we have new signage. We also have some nice shiny bins. I don't know if you saw that in Building 10, the CDC, what they're called. The main building, we've got some nice shiny ones. Yeah, CFC. We've got different bins there as well. And the library's having some unusual bins, more stylish, because sometimes people don't like the red bins, but they're very good. They work very well. Yeah, the problem with that, the biofuel has to be mixed properly, add lye, everything else, put into a bus or whatever. And there has to be a certain manufacturer standard, like ASTM standard, of what they can accept for biodiesel. So people making this stuff in the house, there is no real standard. So a bus breaking down is not good at all. All right. One more. Okay. Yes, ma'am. I'll have to ask them. I'll see them tomorrow, but I don't think they are. It depends who's going to accept the plastic. I mean, they have their own program. We have a special vendor who will take that stuff. They found different. We have a vendor that accepts it, then they kind of pass it out to other companies. So they're pretty good, but I don't think they could take all of Montgomery County's recycling. But I'll ask them tomorrow. It's a good question. I don't see why they shouldn't. I mean, I know they have the rules, ones and twos, the neck bigger than other thing else. Depends what how they can get rid of it, who's going to take it from them. That's the problem. And we're lucky to find someone who actually will take that stuff. Good, that's lots of good questions. I think. Well, yes, ma'am.
Can you talk
about
the animal where
you get
to go? Where is it accepted? Are there issues with it? Maybe dirty?
Well, yes. USDA have a pilot program as well, taking composting. They have a big composting facility, and they're interested in our animal bedding because obviously it's bulky and everything else. The problem is getting it from here to Beltsville. Who's going to pay for the transportation costs? And these are the kind of things you'll find with the recycling program, who's going to pay this and pay that, because it really is doesn't make any much money. But there is a concern of what is actually in the animal bedding, if it's going to be radiation and everything else. So we're trying to overcome the obstacle as well by having some samples sent to them, and they've got to test it and see what they want to do with that. So, yeah, they're very innovative looking at that as well. So, it's all interesting new ideas.
You had mentioned that the off-campus site landlord allowed to organize that. And does that also apply to Poolsville?
Are you at Poolsville?
I used to be.
Oh, no, we collect at Poolsville. We do it once a week on a Thursday. So, we do collect from Poolsville. That is covered under our contract. So, yes, our contract for the recycling and the waste is here on campus and at Poolsville. But the smaller little places around, like Executive Boulevard, that's up to the landlord to do their recycling programs there. Yeah, Poolsville every Thursday. That's where it happens. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
What about the plastic lab? I'd heard that we were going to be able to recycle that.
That's a good point. Yeah, plastic labware. Things like buffers and that kind of thing, which hasn't got anything. The problem is residue. We don't want any kind of chemical residue in our recycling. So it has plastic buffers, something that's not too hazardous. We can take that. But otherwise, it has to go back with the hazardous waste collection, if that makes sense. So I'm looking blank here. So yes, we can take stuff as long as it isn't too hazardous. Okay. So the buffer is okay, and water, that kind of thing as well. So are you guys going to come to Recycling Day tomorrow between 10 and 2, Building 10? We have some nice awareness tools, pencils, everything else, if you want that. Well, I think that's pretty much it. Thank you, everyone, for coming, and this is on a podcast, so it'll be out to you later on, okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you.